You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
.07 and a half on the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. The show is off the freaking rails. Unprofessional radio at its best. We started off, you know, trying to do some news stuff. We talked about the Supreme Court whacking the OSHA vaccine mandate, which is good news. Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin slapping down and locking down on the filibuster. Hopefully they hold the line. Then we got into Pizza TED Talk. Then we took calls. We've been taking calls on pizza and Sidney Poitier movies for at least 90 minutes here, which is great. So now we got to go to Ron Vitello, who's going to take us back into the hard news world. We'll get out very soon after we're done with Ron. But we want to welcome Ron Vitello, former acting director of the Immigration Customs Enforcement. Ron, welcome to Wake Up Tucson. You're with Chris and Mark. What's up, sir?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Where are you calling from?
I am in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of the D.C. area.
I'm sorry.
it's not as bad as it sounds, especially when you're not in government anymore.
Well, we just had that great story about the Fairfax, Virginia elementary school that on the 24-degree day was doing class outside in the parking lot.
It's been a cold week here.
This border thing is very close and dear to our heart because the new head of Customs and Border Protection is the pathetic former police chief here in Tucson who really sucked at everything, scared away most of his people from just quitting on him and retiring early. So with that, Ron Vitello, give us the status on the U.S.-Mexico border right now.
Well, it's totally, totally out of control. We've seen the largest surge in the history of that border. It's been very acute. We saw the images in Del Rio when the Haitians decided to make that, you know, under the bridge, their home on the U.S., on U.S. soil. Never seen anything like that in my whole career. I was at the Border Patrol for 33 years.
Wow.
We're seeing unprecedented numbers in Yuma, not too far from where you are. And it's been acute almost all year in the Rio Grande Valley. So we're seeing surge like we've never seen before, and this administration, having removed all the tools that ended the last surge, predictably find themselves in the worst crisis at that border that's ever existed, and it affects us all, right? You know, you guys are in Tucson, you're close to the border, you see the effects of an out-of-control border or open borders policy and what that does to the cities and towns along the border and close by like you all are. But these people don't stay at the border. They don't stay in Tucson or Phoenix. They go all over the country. And, you know, there's people in the pipeline that get abused by smugglers. They get stuffed into railroad cars and jam-packed into vehicles that sometimes, you know, wreck and flip over. It's the people in the pipeline are not always benefiting by this flow. And, in fact, you know, they're at risk even when they get to the United States.
So what's the play here, Ron? What's the benefit of this for America as a whole? I mean, we're a land of immigrants, but the way it's going on, what's the play here? I mean, the Democrat administration here is just letting it like be a free for all there. They're harder on coronavirus with their own citizens and people coming across the border. What's the play here?
I wish I knew. I knew the policies were going to change, and I knew it was going to, you know, it was going to put pressure on the border. I had no idea it was going to go this fast and be this bad. I really wish I knew what the motivations were. You know, I used to be dismissive of the idea that, you know, these are future voters for the party, whatever. I don't know if that's true or not, but every chance they've gotten since January 2021 to make a policy statement about immigration enforcement or border security, they've stepped back from the rule of law. You know, the first day of this administration, they put a moratorium on removals and deportations. Luckily, some of the states pushed back on that and made them reverse that policy. But they've issued actual policy that doesn't allow ICE to make arrests in the United States just because someone is here illegally. And so we've sent a signal to the globe that now is the time to come to that border. And if you make it to that border, you're likely not to be apprehended because the Border Patrol is so distracted by the Care and Comfort and the processing mission, that there's not many of them out on the border protecting us. So you're likely to get away just not even being encountered by Border Patrol. And many of the people who are being encountered are being let go, which encourages more to come. That's always the way it's been. And that's the situation that we have now. The last surge was ended by the migrant protection protocols. The surge before that was ended by strategic detention. Those tools are gone. And until someone forces this administration to put them back, that could be the House. That could be, the legislation could do that, but no one's really actively pursuing it, given the margins and the balance in both the legislature.
So we had Andy Biggs on the show, and of course, Andy's very big on the border security issue. He was out in Yuma, and he's at a spot where there's the giant hole in the wall, and there's literally streams of humanity. They're like they're walking into a Pink Floyd concert. coming across the border. So what is the effect on the good men and women of border and customs when things get this crazy? What's the toll on those folks?
Yeah, the morale is absolutely in the tank, because they knew what was going to happen when they were forced to reverse these policies and end these programs. They knew they were going to get a surge like that. And the Border Patrol and CBP specifically, they're in a unique situation. When those people stream across the border, they can't ignore it. It's their duty to take those folks into custody, even though they know many of them will be released further into the United States. And so, yeah, it's morale's terrible. These men and women didn't sign up to care for people from the third world. You know, they take that job because they want to protect and patrol the border, not run a daycare for released migrants.
What's the factor of some of these NGOs that some of them get compensated for people who come in that they quote take care of? Are these NGOs helpful? When are they helpful, and when are they not helpful?
Well, there are certain situations where, like, you know, when the framework breaks down and people are, you know, the Border Patrol's forced to release people, or ICE is forced to release people, they can help them settle. They can help get them away from the border. So there's some assistance there that is helpful, especially like in Yuma, because the infrastructure there just doesn't support large numbers of people, right? There's
sure.
not enough buses and airplanes that are coming in and out of Yuma to help with that flow. And so they play a role there. But, yeah, they are also advocates of many of them, not all, but many of them are also advocates of open borders and lax immigration policy. And so there's a little bit of incentive in some of them to have this problem become bigger, or at least participate in it while it is a crisis.
So before we let you go, Ron, what would be the Ron Vitello 3-point plan to get back to sanity?
Well, you have to resource the border first. You have to make sure that they have the tools, and then you got to put policies in place that don't allow people to be released when they come into the country illegally. And that was happening until January of last year. You put that plan back into place. You engage Mexico like was done previously, so that they're helping on their southwest border. And then, you know, Congress has to act. These loopholes exist in the law as it's operationalized. They can fix this, and they can make sure it doesn't happen again. I'm not hopeful for that last part of it, but, you know, there's a lot that can be done via policy that would slow this thing down and put the border back in shape.
And what's the chances that a Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer-controlled Congress is going to get any of that done?
Yeah, not likely. They're enjoying this. There's no question about it. That when the crisis was when it belonged to the previous administration, they said it was his fault. And now that crisis is probably a factor of a third worse, 30% worse than it was in 2019. And they don't even talk about it at all. They completely ignore it.
And my last question, because we've been doing pizza for about an hour before you showed up. What's the best pizza in where Ron Vitello lives? That's what I want to know. Most important question of the day.
That's a good question. There's a place downtown that we're kind of fond of. It's called Big Slice. Instead of a big round pizza, they give you a big slice of pizza that fits in the same size box.
Wow.
It's kind of a novelty, but it's also very good.
And this is in Alexandria, Virginia?
No, that's in D.C.
Oh, in D.C. Okay, look at that. That's where all the cool. But it's there. It is jumbo slice pizza in Washington D.C. Look at that.
Yeah,
it's pulling a 4.2 out of 5 on Google reviews right now. So there it is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Good job, Ron Vitello. Thanks for the knowledge on the border and pizza today. Who knew you were going to have that question?
It's great talking to you.
All right, Ron Vitello. Take care. Ron's former acting director of ICE over the last few years. So when we come back, we got to get back to Sidney Poitier movies. And Mark and I might talk about, after we do Sidney, I want to maybe talk a little bit about making pizza at home, because we've both tried that. Fresco pizza is coming pretty hard for you on your stromboli.
It sounds like I've got to go there this weekend.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice, Wilson Kids. Oh, that Huey. I can't believe he lost his voice.
He did.
So sad.
It is.
790-2040. We're doing 80s bump, and we're doing Pizza TED Talk and Sidney Poitier. And, of course, the memory for me is pepperoni pizza, greasy hands, right, playing Space Invaders.
You know, I love Space Invaders.
All right, my friend, we're doing Sidney Poitier movies. If you want to call us in the second half hour, if you missed Pizza Talk and you want your favorite pizza place from whatever, just call us in the last half hour of the show. We'll take all your pizza talk. Whatever you got, throw it at us, as we like to say. Mark, what's our next movie?
Number six, Blackboard Jungle, 1955.
Sure.
78% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's really, I love the movie personally. It's really about juvenile delinquency. And Vic Morrow plays the rat student in the class. Glenn Ford is the teacher. And Sidney Poitier plays another student who Glenn Ford tries to have him become the leader and lead these kids out of this juvenile delinquency mode that they're in. It is a very, very good movie.
This is Stand and Deliver before Stand and Deliver?
Oh yeah. And it's nominated for Best Art Direction, Cinematography, Writing, and Editing. It's something about the 50s that they were preoccupied with as far as movie making was juvenile delinquency.
It's
true. James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause and those kind of movies were on the scene.
So as a fan of Mystery Science Theater, they always make fun of those little short movies that would be about some sort of public issue.
Right.
Right. And it seems like 70% of those are all like, are you a juvenile delinquent?
Who's going to admit to that?
You are correct. I will.
I like the sales training one. So you want to be a salesman.
My favorite one is dating. There's a dating one.
Oh, geez.
That's amazing. And then the other one is, it's a kid about saving money. It's from the National Bank Association.
Oh, yeah. Put your money in a bank and get 4% interest at
right.
the time.
And then there was there's like a weird shadow of Ben Franklin, Penny Saved, Penny Earned,
right?
Talking to him, and that's the part where it gets a little spooky. So, all right, what's your next one?
The Defiant Ones, done in 1958. It stars Tony Curtis and Sidney Poitier, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I got to tell you, I think this is Tony Curtis's best movie. I love him in this. And it's the story of these two convicts that escape, and they're chained together, and they hate each other. And they're going after each other, and then they're trying to break the chain, and they can't do it. I love the flick.
Back to race relations.
Yes, it is.
Right? The idea of these two guys working together in the end.
Right. Yeah. Right?
To show it. You don't have to preach it.
Yep. No, it's just there, and then it's very, again, as an audience person, it's very thought-provoking what I just saw. Right?
And Tony Curtis is a solid actor, but no one ever say he's a great actor.
No, but he's really good in this. I really, really like
amazingly
him in this
miscast
movie.
In Spartacus. Which
you think? next one up.
Spartacus.
Next one up is number four. Number four is To Sir With Love, and done in 1967. I was 11 years old when this movie came out, and I absolutely loved it. It was 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. And again, it's kind of. He plays a teacher in England who has a class of misfits, and they don't connect with him right away. And then he's so frustrated, and then he starts treating them like adults. And all of a sudden, you can see the transformation in the way that they view him, and the way he views the students. And I think it's a fantastic movie.
Love it.
Yep.
So this is closer to Dead Poets Society. a little bit, right?
I think so, but I mean, it was amazing because he overcame. I mean, they were totally resistant to him in the beginning,
yeah.
And then he was so frustrated, but then he turns it around and treats them like adults, and they absolutely loved him by the end of the term.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Yeah, it is.
What's your next one?
Next one up is In the Heat of the Night. Absolutely love this flick.
Mr. Tibbs.
It won for Best Picture, actor Rod Steiger, writing, sound, and editing. The only thing is missing is Sidney Poitier wasn't even nominated, and it's ridiculous. And it shows you that Hollywood had problems with race relations, too, because he absolutely deserved. But Rod Steiger, fantastic in this movie. And so Poitier plays this detective from Philadelphia, asked to help out in this southern town to help out with a murder investigation.
Spot on Mississippi.
Yeah. Is it ever southern, right? And so there's the scene, I was watching it last night, and so Virgil's leaving. His name is Virgil Tibbs, and he's leaving on a train station. He's so frustrated with Steiger and the whole area. He's had enough. And Steiger comes to ask him to stay and help him with the investigation, and it's a real gripping scene.
So we keep talking about the It was Sidney Poitier all the time, 24 hours, right? This poison grace that he projected, right?
Yep.
And what's great about this movie, right?
Because
he can't stop projecting poison grace, right? But then as you see his frustration that leads to anger,
right,
in relation to this situation where he's trying to solve this murder, right? And then the racism and all this other small-minded crap. And just seeing him in that situation, responding to that.
Well, there's this, in that same scene, Steiger gets really frustrated because Tibbs tells him, no, I'm going. And he says, I'd like to horsewhip you. And you could see he was going to get angry. And then he said, my father used to say that to me. and he said, well, and then Steiger says, well, not enough. And then he just calmed down and started laughing, you know, and that's how he dealt with it. I mean, right. It's just an amazing scene.
All right. Yep. So what number was that, sir?
That was number 3. We have 2 to go.
All right. Let's go to break. Yep. And then we got the next 2. We're still going to take we're still going to do a little pizza talk. I will do the economic development story in Casa Grande, where Casa Grande is just beating up Tucson. I mean, this is like a boxing match now between Mike Tyson and Jerry Lewis. This is what's going on. Casa Grande versus
another
Tucson.
Missed opportunity.
This is a big one.
Oh, big time.
This is a big one, as we like to say.
Yeah, but your buddy Joe Snell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's on it.
Hopefully the young professionals will give him Man of the Year. So let's go to break. Christy Simone, we're doing 80s Bump off the Control album. Little Pleasure Principle, my Miss Janet. Wake up, one of the less weird Jacksons. You never want to interrupt Dusty Springfield on
Man,
this one.
Man, I haven't heard that in a long time.
Great tune.
That is a good song.
Pet Shop Boys with Dusty Springfield. We're bumping some 80s here. Mark Van Buren's got 2 more movies to go. So we're talking about the Stromboli factor. So Matt Cable from Fresco posts a picture of the Stromboli. And as Paxton said in Aliens, game over, man.
Yeah,
game
I'm definitely coming this weekend. Great picture. Thank you so much for showing it to me.
Love it.
Love it. Wow. My mouth's watering already. So,
all right. 2 more. If you have any more pizza calls, you can give us a call. We'll take them at 790-2040. Mark, what's our last 2 Sidney Poitiers?
I know this is a favorite of yours, so I'll let you talk about it. So, Lilies of the Field, 1963, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. Just such a feel-good movie. And he Sidney is so good in this, don't you think? It's unbelievable.
I like a lot of his work.
Right.
Okay? But this one, because it's filmed in Tucson.
Right.
Right. There's that scene I was explaining to the Greg, our production guy, we were talking about yesterday. There's the scene where he has to go get a job.
Right.
Right. Because he wants to get money to help the nuns build.
Exactly.
The chapel.
Yeah.
Right.
The chapel.
And so he goes to Ashton Construction here in Tucson.
Right.
So someone was telling me, and maybe hopefully they were right, that it's just west of here.
Right.
On Country Club north of Ajo.
Right.
Is where that office was. You know what
cool.
I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's just so good, and it's a religious movie, but you don't have to really be religious to get a meaning from it. It's just such a great movie.
So again, he's a handyman.
Yep.
An itinerant handyman, if you will. And he's coming through Tucson, and he needs a job to make a few bucks to keep moving, and he runs into these German nuns. who are literally people who escaped Nazi Germany to come to come to America, and they're supposed to build a chapel or a chapel.
Yeah.
And of course, what happens is it's kind of them kind of knocking heads, him and the Mother Superior.
Yeah.
But then also changing the hearts of an entire town, and because then they, you know, getting together to work on the chapel.
And he won Best Actor for this, and it was nominated for Best Picture as well. Just a great story.
And of course the. There is another one that they did called Christmas Lilies in the Field, a TV movie with Billy Dee Williams,
and
which is not very good.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for bringing that up.
He was great as Lando Calrissian, though.
Yeah, he was.
Kind of.
He was.
What's your
number
next?
One? Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, 1967.
Oh, yeah.
85% by the reviewers on Rotten Tomatoes. And Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy are fantastic in the movie. They really and truly are. Bea Richards and Roy Glenn, who play Sidney Poitier's parents, are fantastic in the movie. It won Best Actress for Hepburn. It is fantastic. But I remember the scene where she's talking to her daughter and she hasn't met her intended, who was Sidney Poitier, and she's white and obviously he's black. And he walks in the middle of them talking, and Katharine Hepburn, the look on her face is just unbelievable.
Sure.
But it's a movie that really will make you change your viewpoint, I think, or at least cause pause in the way that you think about race relations, because this movie, you know, starts out with these very liberal white people who are conflicted because they're it's their daughter, and in the same turn, he's Sidney Poitier is having a tough time with his parents because they're having a tough time with this too, and
right.
They're all having dinner together, and it's there's some epic scenes in this movie. It's really good.
Epic scenes, great script.
Yeah.
Right. The script always starts with script, right?
Yep.
You know, we have this discussion.
Well, one for best writing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
We talk about movies of different decades.
Sure.
Right. And every decade had great ones and they all had stinkers.
Yep.
Right. And what makes great ones? In the end, it's a script.
Sure.
Right. Then it has to be ably directed with great actors.
Yep.
But if you have no script.
Yep.
Right. You have, you know, the Star Wars sequels.
And I'm a little sad because I think you're absolutely right. And I think writing is gone by the wayside. And, you know, there's so many movies there about special effects and everything else. And people go see these movies and it's just like, yeah, but there's no good writing in there. And now, why do we keep regurgitating things? We take great stories and redo them because nobody's writing great stories.
And at the same time, as a marketing thing, they're familiar to people.
Right.
Kind of thing. But look at all the writing that's going on with these television series.
Yep. No, I think right? there's writing there.
Right.
Absolutely.
So it's the idea that in a television series, they have time to spread out, right?
Absolutely.
Over 8 episodes or whatever. But we can still write a 2-hour movie.
Yep.
You know, let's take one quick call on Poitier and then I'll let you go, okay? Because I know you got a meeting to get to. Let's go to Let's go to Bill number one. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. I heartily concur with the top two there, Sidney Poitier. The acting in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, it just, as an ensemble cast, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better range of actors that truly enjoy acting and truly enjoyed acting with each other. And it was one of those movies where sometimes you seriously question whether you're watching something that is a production or people are speaking from the heart.
I couldn't agree more. It seems just so natural. You're right.
Some of the scenes between Hepburn and Tracy, they will blow your mind. And Lilies of the Field, I agree with Chris. It's one of those small little hidden gems. Yes, it is a product of its time, but it tells a timeless story. And Sidney Poitier probably was the best actor to bring that to the screen because he was able to channel that personal story that transcended the medium and made it real for a whole bunch of people.
You are correct, sir. You are correct.
Hold on, I gotta give Bill one of those things. Bill, great phone call as always, sir. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Later, my friend. All right, Mark, great job. Thanks for hanging along with us today.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It was fun, and everybody have a great weekend.
Pizza, Poitier, and politics. We did it all.
It's the three Ps, remember.
The other PPP. So, all right, Mark, have a great weekend. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 The Voice. Give us more pizza calls, 790-2040. Wake up. Ah, little couples dance. There we go. Whoa. Oh. Oh, so beautiful. 8:47 in the morning. 80s bump. Pizza talk. Sydney Poitier. We're doing it all today. We're going to get sneaking two or three more calls before the show's over. 790-2040. If you want to try to sneak in at the end, we'll see. But the one thing I do want to get, because people are like, you keep talking about this thing in Casa Grande, DeSimone. Can you get it going? So Kohler, a small little startup. Just kidding. The giant sink company. Water fixtures, bathtubs, and shower stalls is going to, you know, while we're still farting around here, doing whatever we do around here, Kohler announced that they are doing, their design's been approved for $300 million build in Casa Grande. $300 million.
Keep sending out tweets, Tucson.
Rahina's tweeting about Kyrsten Sinema and Casa Grande's eating our lunch. Eating our lunch. Remember last year, the only, I think, news thing that came out of any sort of new company was that one that had like 27 jobs. And we said, have there been more murders than jobs created in Tucson? Maybe. So anyway, Casa Grande's killing it. They're becoming the second city of Arizona, or they're becoming a southern suburb of Phoenix, but yikes. Let's go to the phones, 790-2040. Who was on first? What do you got?
Donna was on first.
All right, Donna, welcome to Pizza Talk.
Hi. Hey. Okay, so I grew up in Hicksville, Long Island, and there was a mall called Mid-Island Plaza.
Sure. I used to go to the Sears in Hicksville all the time.
Yeah, and there was do you remember the pizza place there?
I do not.
Pizza D'Amore, great Sicilian pizza.
Oh.
People still talk about it on the Hicksville pages on Facebook. What a wonderful pizza place that was. So, great, really great Sicilian pizza. Anyway, now in Tucson, my choices are limited because I'm gluten-free and I like Scordato's.
Okay. Very nice. Do you get toppings on it?
Sometimes mushrooms, yeah.
Okay. Look at that. All right. So Pizza D'Amore in Hicksville.
Hicksville, Long Island. Okay.
Can we
have a great day.
Hey, could we ever name a new town Hicksville? Maybe it's named after a guy named Hicks, but maybe
it was, yeah. Valerie Hicks.
Oh, look at that. I was thinking it was named after people who are urbanly challenged, so. But.
Little Abnerville.
All right, Donna, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. 790-2040. Let's go to Mitch. He wants to talk some Sydney Poitier, which is great. Mitch, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Hey, Chris, I didn't hear the whole list, but one Sydney Poitier movie that sticks out in my head is A Patch of Blue.
Oh, that was not on Mark's list. So tell us about it.
Well, I believe the young lady's name was Elizabeth Hartman.
That's true. I'm looking at it right now.
Yep, she's blind, and her mother is a real, let's just say, not a good person. And she's played by Shelley Winters.
Correct.
Fantastic performance. But Sydney Poitier kind of befriends this blind girl, and it's the racial component, which we saw a lot during that time. But it's a really, really touching story, and I would highly recommend it.
So it's interesting. So there's a scene between, and Shelley Winters did win Academy Award, her second, for this movie, A Patch of Blue. And
yep.
The scenes of Poitier and Ms. Hartman kissing were edited out of the film when it was shown in film theaters south of the Mason-Dixon line. Which was the way the world was in those days, sad to say.
And well, thank goodness we've come a long way, haven't we?
Amen, sir. So A Patch of Blue, Sydney Poitier, Shelley Winters, and Elizabeth Hartman, off of the book called Be Ready with Bells and Drums by Elizabeth Keita. So good job there, bud.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Great show today.
Thanks, Amigo. Have a great
week. And my pizza pick,
please.
Real quick.
Absolutely.
My pizza pick would be Upper Crust, Campbell and Grant.
I love Upper Crust, and my relationship with Upper Crust was interesting because when it first came in the business, it's been there forever, right? There was a guy named Charlie, I believe, who owned it, who was a guy from East Meadow, Long Island, and he did a solid job with it. And what I think Nick, who owns Arizona Pizza, used to work from him 30 years ago. Then he went off and did his thing, and now Nick bought Upper Crust, and so Upper Crust is literally Arizona Pizza on Campbell and Grant. So that's why it's even better. That's why it's even better than ever.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. And don't be discouraged by the construction going on right next to the joint.
So what you want to do is, because the parking, it's right on the street, right? It's just behind it to the north. There's a parking lot with plenty of parking. So.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Good suggestion. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm sad I didn't say it earlier. So you picked me up, Mitch. Good job, buddy.
All right, Chris. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. 790-2040. This is radio. This is what I want to do. Pizza and Poitiers. The things that keep the world together from going totally mad. Sydney Poitier and great pizza. So making pizza at home, that's a couple of questions I've had from people today. And I've done the barbecued pizza on the gas grill. And if you get it right, it's really good. But you got to pay attention, right? And you throw you should have a decent sized grill, hot zone, kind of hot zone, little cool zone. You have to really pay attention to it, but there is a payoff to it. But I am starting to perfect the cast iron pizza. It's the way to go. It's a Cook's Country, which is America's test kitchen. And what happens is that you actually, get your cast iron. You're going to throw in a couple, 2-3 tablespoons of olive oil, homemade dough, put it down on the bottom. And then you actually start cooking the crust on the stove first to get the bottom going. You almost like deep fry. You almost fry the crust a little bit. And then you finish it off on a 475 oven. It's so far the best way I've made a pizza at home. Cast iron. Look under Cook's Country Cast Iron Pizza or look it on YouTube. They'll have one of the ladies on that does it. So. Check it out. 790-2040. Let's go to line two. Let's go to Rachel on Sydney Poitier. Rachel, what's going on?
I think that what I was thinking about while you've been doing all this is just discrimination in general. And for me, when I was growing up, a patch of blue, that's a disablement. Guess who's coming to dinner? That's, Poitier played a doctor in a role that was apparently not expected.
Oh, that's true.
And every time I watch A Patch of Blue, it always, brings tears to my eyes. I grew up in an abusive home. I came from a blended family. My father was Jewish. My mother was Baptist. And my dad died when I was 7. And so back in the 60s, every one of my friends had both parents, and they were both married to each other. And so I was ostracized because I was the only one in class that only had one parent.
Wow.
And so there's discrimination against parental familial. But what I think about mostly of Mr. Poitier is he was a wonderful actor, but everybody that acted with him shored him up, and they made him look good, and he made them look good, and it just flowed so well. And I just enjoy those movies. They bring tears to my eyes, and I miss him so. He was a wonderful, wonderful actor.
Amen, sister. Great. Thank you for sharing that with us, Rachel. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You have a nice weekend, ma'am.
You as well.
Take care. His first movie was 1947 as an extra, and then as not an extra, 1950, No Way Out. Couple other ones too, right? Because he did, he made movies for decades, right? Of course, Cry the Beloved Country, Porgy and Bess. That was another one. We talked about Raisin in the Sun. Guess Who's Coming for Dinner. They did a sequel to Heat of the Night called They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. That's another one they did. And then as we got into the 80s, he took off about, looks like 9 years, and actually more than that, 11 years. He went from Piece of the Action in 77, and then he came back in Shoot to Kill in 1988. He's in Little Nikita. He was actually very fun in Sneakers, the Robert Redford movie with, I think River Phoenix was in that. We had that, and then we had The Jackal. I forgot he was in The Jackal. So, it's funny, very funny. The last film he appeared in as a documentary as himself, I'm sure they interviewed him, was the documentary of Don Rickles. It's called Mr. Warmth, the Don Rickles Project. That's the last, quote, official film that Sidney Poitier. And, of course, his worst, lowest moment of his career was directing. I didn't know. Now, first of all, he directed Stir Crazy with Pryor and Wilder, which I did not know. I did not know that.
No idea.
So that's awesome. And that's a Tucson flick. There's some Tucson in Stir Crazy. So Sidney came back to Tucson. So I like that. He did Hanky Panky, which is another Wilder film, and with Richard Pryor. And then now his lowest, I did not know this. He directed the horrible Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby. He's, don't get me wrong, he's batting 98%, Sidney won.
Can't win them all.
All right. Let's wrap this sucker up right now. Yes, sir.
I got to give some love. You know, Zachary's been talked about BZ's. I like Bear Canyon Pizza. I like 1702. I like Rocco's. All three solid in my book. The reason Rocco's gets crispy on the inside is he puts a heat sink on the pizza. They showed it on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Look at
you. He puts a little heat sink in there to kind of get a little heat to the crust. The other thing I want to give some love to, the other place, is Vinny's out in Sierra Vista on Highway 92. Great, great place. Pizza, wings, sandwiches, Vinny's.
As Gandalf said in Moria, I have no memory of this place.
Great pizza. It's at Highway 92 as you're heading south from the main part of town. Vinny's Pizza. Been there forever. It was in several locations, and a lot of stories I won't go into because we just don't have time. Fantastic. Solid pizza, great wings, great sandwiches, great place, great community place.
Thank you, sir. That was good. And thanks, everyone, for all the calls and the contributions and all this stuff. And, you know, when you guys get a topic that's very, nothing's more familiar to people than food and especially pizza. So you guys were great as always. So we got best ofs on Martin Luther King Day. So everyone, and some of you are going to have a 3-day weekend. We got the Fort Lowell shootout coming out. What's my real clock look like so I know I don't totally step on myself, please, sir? Oh, I got 10 seconds. And then we'll see you on the 15th. I'm getting there. All right, let's get out of here. See you on Tuesday. Wake up.